We have a quorum of three here.
There's one here?
We don't need a quorum of three.
Okay.
We have a quorum.
It's now 8:36, a little late, and apologize to those people who are here this morning. I've been given the honor of chairing this hearing to consider Southeast or pilots for the pilots board, and Dale Collins and Keith Griba and another old friend Bob Watt, and I want to thank you all for being here today. And we're joined this morning by Senator Menard, Senator Pierce, and chair of this committee, Richard Foster, and Representative Gene Cabina, and I'm Bill Hudson. We'll be chairing today. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, for permitting me to hear these confirmations today. And to get right into it, I'd last ask Dale Collins, if you'd please come right forward up here, please, and give us your name, and for the information of those that are looking this over, we do have some information in the packet here. And so you can look along like that, and we'll ask any questions. Maybe I'd like to start, Dale, if you would just kind of give us a little bit of your background and, you know, something about why you want to serve on this board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dale Collins, for the record. My background is that I'm a native-born Alaskan, born in Kodiak, went to high school and graduated in Ketchikan, Alaska, served 4 years in the Navy, at which time I was able to document enough sea time to obtain a third mate ocean license, returned to the state of Alaska, worked for the Alaska Marine Highway System for 9.5 years. My capacity upon leaving the Alaska Marine Highway was chief mate pilot aboard the system. I changed careers and moved into the state piloting profession in 1980, and it remained there to date. My reasons for serving on the pilot board is I think that my experience and knowledge in Alaska could assist the state in the with formulating the new Pilotage Act that we were able to get last year, and hope to be able to continue to serve on the pilot board.
Thank you, Dale. Any questions from the committee here, or any information you'd like from Mr. Collins?
Well, are we going to grill him this morning, Mr. Chairman?
Why don't we just grill him a little bit, and then this is the committee for grilling. But actually, I've known Dale now for some period of time, worked with him, and I know his professional background. I think I know him personally, so I don't have a lot of questions for him, but some of you may not know him.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dale, refresh my memory on the members of the board, how many are on it, what slots are available, and I know that we have three coming up here, so, and are there specific slots here? You obviously have a slot as a pilot?
Yes, sir. There's two pilot slots, there's two industry slots or agent slots, two public members, and the Department of Commerce's designee, or the Commissioner of Commerce. Seven total.
And you're the...
I would fulfill one of the slots, but normally one of them comes from the Western region and one comes from the Southeast region.
Any other questions?
Are we at Dell Conference anyway?
I don't believe so, are we?
Oh, I don't
think that's just for the transcription over there. Yeah. All right. If there's no other questions, then yes, are we supposed to
confirm? Yes, confirm? With each of you sign the confirmation form.
All right. I would accept a motion then from the committee that we move to confirm the. Nomination. Any objections to that?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Any objections? No objections? Thank you very much, Dale.
Thank you. Thanks, committee.
Members will please sign this. And next, Keith Griba, is that correct?
That's correct.
So have a seat there, Keith. if you would kind of do the same thing, Keith, give us your name and what position on the board that you're applying for.
My name is Keith Reba, and I am a public board member, and I reside in Sitka, Alaska. I've been there since 1974. I got to Alaska in the U.S. Coast Guard. I had a tour of duty overseas, and then I was stationed on the Aleutians, aboard a Sarki team out there, and my I had a time in. I was involved with the vessel traffic system out of Seattle. I was working for pilots and the establishment of the BTS system. And then from there, I came to Sitka, also worked with the U.S. Coast Guard, and I got out. I graduated from college from the University of Alaska. I've been involved in commercial fisheries and worked aboard, ran boats, and I run a chartering business out of Sitka, Alaska. And I feel like, as a public member, I have no interest in either side. I vote as how I see it.
Any questions, Mr. Grieva?
Can you go to your life-saving citation, Jared? Was that the Coast Guard?
I rescued some people, and I got a presidential citation for life-saving.
Where were you stationed, Coast Guard?
I served aboard a breaker, made a north trip to the North Pole, spent my summer up there, and over to Europe. I was a navigator. I came back to the States. I went through schooling and more navigational school in Florida. Then from there, I was stationed out in ADAC aboard a ship that did all the eight-ton work of search and rescue, the entire Aleutian chain from Lost all the way up to the Diomedes. And from there, I went down to the BTS system in Seattle. I was involved with riding all the container ships, and when the vessel traffic system was established, I had to memorize the entire Aleutian
system. Yeah, we need just a quorum to establish that Senator Schultz is here, so we do have a quorum from the
Let the record show that we now have a quorum for the Senate. Senator Schultz has joined us. And Richard, we've already heard the confirmation of Dale Collins, and we are with Mr. Keith Grieva here, who is the member from the public member for the pilotage board that we're looking at. We've just getting some information from him. The reason I asked Keith is I'm a retired postie myself, 20-year type.
And I apologize, I have to leave because I have to go make a forum at another meeting.
Thank you.
There's a lot of that going around.
And, but I'm willing to sign when you get the confirmation.
Okay. Thanks. Good. And for the record, we've been joined by Representative Lehman from the Resources Committee. And also at our table is my good friend Sherry Davis, Representative Davis, who's joined us at the table. Thanks, Sherry. Welcome. And we do have a number of people here who have asked to testify from the public as well. But before we get on to that, are there any other questions for Mr. Grieva? All right. Keith, this is obviously an easy representative.
Well, I just wanted to ask you. You said you have a, you provide a balanced report. I mean, you said you were independent.
Yeah, oops.
Is that connected then? I don't think we're using that.
I believe I do provide a balanced report. Basically, I have no interest on the side. As a public member, that's what I feel is in the best interest of the state. If we're concerned about the state of Alaska, and you know, in the best interest of the state, nobody's gonna buy me off. I look at the issues and I vote on as I see them, and I believe I do it as a public member.
Representative Foster,
can you explain these sides?
Well, I'm not saying that there's definite sides, but I can see that there's members on the board that are pilots. There's members involved in industry, and obviously their influence, I believe, on that, but I believe you need to have a public member for a balance, because I'm looking at their interest, I'm looking at that, I'm looking at the way these things are, you know, the way they operate, and, you know, on both sides, there are sides on boards, I'm telling you, there are, and I'm just looking at it, and not saying that this side always votes for their favor, you know, on their side, I'm just looking at it from both angles, and I evaluate it in both the way I feel is the best interest of the state.
Representative Covina.
Well, I'd like to follow up a little bit. Sides meaning, and I'm not familiar with this board, to be honest with you, but sides meaning, I take it pilots and industry would be the two sides.
Right.
And what would be their conflicts? What type of issues would they, would this board's sets pay or?
Well, sure it does. They're working on the tariff issue right now.
Could you explain that to me?
Well, it's just that, you know, when you've got individuals on a board that are making their livelihood from it, and you've got other individuals that are working as involved in industry or paying members on the, well, you know, indirectly are involved in employing individuals, and you got people in industry signing contracts and things of that nature. So you do have people on the board that have interests involved, but yet whether or not they're voting with their own interests in mind, I can't say that.
So by tariffs, you mean that a pilot would come out like to a cruise ship and get on board the ship and bring that ship into a dock or into the harbor?
Well, that's what the pilots do. That's what the pilots do.
And by the tariff is how much those pilots are getting paid and, or the company is getting paid. Now, do the pilots, they're independent, they have, or they have the Southeast Pilots Association. So is it the association that is in essence contracted with to go do this with the industry? Is that what the association's role is?
Well, there's four associations or four piloting groups in South Florida and Alaska now. There's two in Southeast. And industry does work with the piloting groups, and the industry does contract the pilot groups. And, I mean, Nate might want to answer that. I mean, that's what I see.
Right. If I can, Mr. Chairman, so that when you say you're setting tariffs, the board sets how much money you pay to...
All we're just setting is that we were just working on the maximum tariff, and then it's up to industry and the pilots to go back and negotiate what they will work. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to, if we set a tariff up here, doesn't mean that's what the pilots are going to get. And they go back to industry and they negotiate and work out contracts and things.
So you set a top end, the maximum amount that they can charge.
Right.
That they can negotiate. Right. Does the association itself negotiate those prices? It's not the individuals.
We don't negotiate the prices.
Does the Pilots Association negotiate?
The Pilots Association and the industry work together to negotiate the prices.
Do they sign a contract?
Well, that's what they'd like to do.
That's not necessarily always done.
Well, I can't answer that, you know, whether or not, because I know that someone would like to sign a contract because it's in the best interest of the state, because I see, if the pilots are getting a good fair pay and they know that these pilots are going to be able to stay here in Alaska and make a livelihood, if you're not paying these guys a good amount, you know, a fair wage, which is equivalent to what they're getting along the coastline, they're going to get out of here. They're not going to monkey with it. They're going to go down lower 48. Therefore, we're going to get other pilots up here that are inexperienced, and it's not in the best interest of the state. You got another trainee out there, and we got a lot of, with these cruise ships and things, we're going to have an accident. Something's going to happen, and heads are going to fly. But by having these contracts and working with these tariff issues and giving these pilots a contract, you're able to say, okay, I got a contract for the next 2, 3, 4, whatever years, and you know, I mean, I'm going to stay around. And
so, does industry negotiate collectively, or each individual company negotiate with these companies?
I can't answer that. I'm not sure.
Maybe I should ask Mr. Collins some more questions. Actually, now that we're getting into this,
happy to bring him back if you'd like to do that. Have you, members of the board, have you had a chance to look over the law and the provisions in the statutes, the responsibilities, duties and responsibilities of this board? I know Representative Davis carried this bill last year on the floor of the House and was the original sponsor of the new legislation here that created much of the duties and responsibilities of this board. And you might want to look this over, and if there's anyone here that is up for confirmation that you'd like to call back for additional questions or information, we can do that. I want to handle this rather informally. I do apologize to some of you in the audience here. I have not seen the sign-in sheet here, and we'll get to each one of you here. What I'd like to do is I'd like to go through each one, put each one of the applicants up before us here so that we can find out who they are and get that idea. And we have about 10 minutes in which we're supposed to get on up into a session here. So if there's no further questions, then Keith, we'll ask you if you would maybe step down for a minute here, and let's go ahead and get Bob Watt and get Ken up.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning, Bob. Would
would you give us a rundown, please, on who you are and if you have served on this board or why you want to serve on it?
Sure. I'm Bob Watt. There are seven members on the board, two pilots, two agents, two members of the public at large, and a commissioner of commerce or his designee. Traditionally, there have been an agent, a pilot, and one of the public members at large, as Dale, I think, said, from Southeast, and one from each of those categories from another portion of the state. So in those categories, I would be filling the agent seat from Southeast Alaska. I've been an agent twice in my life, from 1970 to 1973. I was a registered agent, and again in 1987 to date, I'm a registered agent. That's where I got and how I got here. The governor appointed me to the board last August. The first meeting was in October, and I've been on the board basically since October, effectively. There's no meetings prior to that. Why do I want to be on the board? I am a registered agent in Southeast. I'm one of the very few registered agents in the state that's not affiliated with any of the major corporations in the shipping industry in the state. I enjoy a challenge. I certainly entered into a forum where there are lots of challenges. The new bill has certainly created a lot of work for the pilot board, which we haven't served. We're going about our business in an orderly manner. Some would wish we could do more expeditions, perhaps, but we're getting the task done. I don't know what all you want to know of me, but I'll gladly respond to your questions.
Are there any questions? Representative Foster?
I simply wanted to commend him on his list of community service here. It looks like you're really involved in the community and trying to help everybody there. Looks like there's just about every spot that's available in town.
Senator Bernard?
Yeah, thank you very much. Bob, you have an industry seat. Is that correct? Agent seat?
An agency, registered agency.
Okay. And is that typically a seat that is appointed by industry or from industry, or they put recommendations up to fill that seat?
Quite frankly, I don't know the historical practice. I do know in my particular case, I heard that the previous person who was filled the registered agent seat from Southeast. I left the board, and was there for a vacancy. I submitted my resume to the governor's office and asked his consideration for the appointment. And here we are. Now, what the normal process is, I don't know. That's the process I went through.
And when you sit on the board as an agent, how do you see your role? Who do you feel that you're representing on the board?
I'm coming to the board with a perspective of an agent who represents, in theory, the owners of the ships, the ship owners, who employ the pilots. And the pilots are the ones who, after all, are being regulated.
And have you been a pilot?
No, sir.
And your experience as far as the industry side and stuff, would you review that again for me, please?
From 1970 through 73, and I may be a little fuzzy on those dates, that's a long time ago. I work for South Ecuador in Ketchikan. I have basically two roles. They were a fairly small corporation in those days in terms of numbers of people. I was their office manager and in charge of the two aspects of the agency work. One was the cruise ships. In those days, they only plied in Southeast Alaska. They did not go across the Gulf. And the other phase of the operation that I was responsible for were the bulk cargo ships. Those were the ore ships in Skagway, the wood ships, ships out of Haines, and the few ore ships going out of Castle Island where it used to be an underwater mine there. It's no longer active. So that was the agency work I was involved in almost 20 years ago. Then in 1987, I went to work for Kluck One, a native corporation out of Haines. And they're obviously very active in the logging industry. And they, as a corporation, basically have what we refer to as stump-to-ship activity as far as the logging is concerned. We build the roads, harvest the trees, do the entire process of grading marketing. We do our own marketing. Tow the logs to wherever the ships are going to be, load them onboard ship, using our shareholders. And in 1987, I went to work for the corporation. We then set up a marine division, and it was my responsibility to run that marine division. And again, I became a registered agent again with a view to, no secret hasn't been a wild success, with a view to having our own agency function within the corporation to represent the ships onto which we were placing our own cargo.
So when decisions come before the board and they're decisions that reflect the agent's owner's viewpoint, and there's the pilot's viewpoint that comes down, then when you're making your decisions, then how do you feel that that when you make that decision, you're making it from the agent's standpoint, or are the lines drawn that close on the decisions that come before?
Oh, I think on some issues they are drawn. People right down the table. I heard some conversation a few minutes ago about the tariff. I think it's only natural that the pilots are going to want to make as much money as possible, so they're going to put arguments out on the table to justify that position. It's no great surprise then that the ship owners or the agents who are going to pay the bill, directly or indirectly, want to pay as little as possible. That's just human nature. So yeah, on things like tariff, there's a pretty well-drawn line. On issues of safety, I would like to think this is common ground on safety. That is, after all, what the Act is all about, is protecting the marine environment of the state of Alaska. There may be differences of opinion on specific issues regarding safety. We just spent some great deal of time the last couple of days talking about the Pribilof Islands, compulsory cottage waters in the Pribilofs. The action that we've taken is to basically leave the Pribilofs the way we did in January, just the mouth of the harbor is compulsory cottage waters, and no more water than that. To answer your question on that kind of issue, yes, there was pretty divergent points of view. So maybe I'm not answering the question. On many issues, yes, there's polarization. On lots of issues, though, there is not. I well remember the votes in the last couple of days. Some of them were unanimous, some of them were 6-1, and a few of them, yeah, were 5-2 or 4-3.
Thank you.
Any other questions of this gentleman? Representative Cabina.
Mr. Watt. Could you explain to me real briefly what an agent is as compared to, you don't work for any of the cruise lines or this, you work for Cluck One, but what is an agent exactly?
What is an agent? An agent represents, traditionally, either the owner or the charterer of a ship here in Alaska. But in most cases, the owner does not live in Alaska. The owner lives in New York or Greece or Tokyo. So they want to have some local representation for their interests. So they hire an agent. That can either be the owner of the vessel or the charter, particularly in the case of cargo. And cruise ships, they most generally are owner-operated. They also hire a local agent in Alaska to represent their interests. That's not to say that they step aside entirely and leave everything up to the agent. The gentleman here from All America Line, he certainly is actively involved in the process in Alaska. But the real nitty-gritty of the issue is an agent represents either the owner or the charter of the vessel.
Do you, Bob, do you work for any shipping company that requires a pilot in Alaska?
Do I?
Do you?
I don't have any long-term contract with any one specific shipping company, no. Have I in the past? Yes. Did I last year? Yes.
But at the present time, you don't.
Well, are you endorsed by any companies that that do have shipping? This is an industry seat. Do you have support? I mean, does the industry want you in the seat?
No. I think it's fair to say that from the time that the vacancy on the board was created until today, there's been more than one person interested in having this agency from Southeast. The governor appointed me, he didn't appoint somebody else, and I don't doubt that there are people who still would prefer that I not be on there, that someone else have the seat.
Representative Pierce? Senator Pierce.
I was just going to say that according to the statute which we worked on last year, and the governor has the right to name any. All it says is that the board will consist of two pilots licensed under the chapter who have been actively engaged in piloting, not that presently have to be. two agents or managers of vessels subject to this chapter, meaning they have to be registered, two public members, and the commissioner or the commissioner's designee. There's nothing in the statute or in the law that requires there to be any sort of nominating process like we do have in some other laws. There's no nomination process. This is like all the other licensing boards where the governor has the right to choose his own appointees without a nominating process or any sort of endorsement process. And there is not, with the exception of the fact that you cannot have more than one pilot or one agent from any judicial district, there's no implied representation. In fact, the power and duty of the board is to provide for the maintenance of pilotage service, and the requirement is that we're assuring the protection of shipping, the safety of human life and property, and the protection of marine environment. We are not protecting anyone's job or anyone's industry. It's for the protection of the state, and that's what marine pilotage, why it started, and why we have virtual monopolies, and why the state requires pilots.
If I might just change, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to note that this part of the statute was not changed last year when we changed the bill and we changed the law. It wasn't, I don't recall anybody even requesting any changes in this part of the statute.
1970 law.
All right. We're rapidly running out of time. As a matter of fact, the floor session is supposed to take place like momentarily here. I have called up there, and it's probably going to be about another 7 or 8 minutes. So at this time, Bob, what I'd like you to do is if you'd maybe kind of join us on the side here. And I'd like to ask anyone, I do have a sign-up list here, but I'm interested in both sides of the issue. We're obviously trying to decide whether these are the confirmations we should have or not. And if there's someone here that would like to speak in contrary to any of these nominations, I think this committee, these joint committees would like to hear from you as well. And if anybody's in that position, this is your time to raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Please come forward, give us your name and your testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Joe Homer, and I'm a pilot with Alaska Coastwise Pilots Association. And we are in direct competition with Southeast Alaska Pilots, of which Dale Collins, a candidate for nomination here now, is a member. And we oppose his nomination because we see a direct conflict of interest in his position as a board member and a subject of two federal lawsuits involving antitrust action and other pending legal proceedings.
Can you tell us just a little bit about your organization and the two organizations so that the committee will understand the dynamics here?
I'll try. It's kind of complicated and it's kind of long. It could be very long-winded. I'll try to make it short. Our group is a new group and has been fought every inch of the way in its since its conception, and we feel that there has been a great deal of unfairness in this being the way we've been fought. And we are definitely at a disadvantage in that we have no representation on this board, and we're fighting a good deal of what might be called tradition as well, or the way things have been done. Yes, I mean...
Representative Cabina?
What is it, Mr. Collins specifically has a conflict, or would it be anyone in his organization?
In particular, it's Mr. Collins. However, it could be said, it could be argued that anybody from that group would have some conflict. It could be argued the other way.
Chairman Faulkner.
Briefly, the unfairness relates to what?
I'd like to refer you to a letter to Governor Hickel that you probably have there, written by our president, as an example. I think if you read just the first paragraph, you'll...
What I'd also like to suggest is that we will not be able to take all the testimony here this morning. Obviously, we just don't have the time. But this committee and our sister committee on the Senate side would be very pleased to receive anything in writing, either for or against the candidates here. I guess as the acting chair of the day here, with a short period of time, we are going to, I'm going to leave the committee members open to your own discretion. This will consist of an upfront first-time meeting before this committee. If the committee members, I'll leave it up to you if you want to ask that we hear this confirmation again, or if we receive written information and then we'll pass the nominations on up, whatever it is the wishes of the committee, however you sign up on it. What are the wishes of the committee here? Mr. Chairman, how would you like to handle this, sir?
Well, why don't we hear from some of the other ones here?
Okay. And Mr. Chairman?
As far as, are you asking, are we going to take more testimony of these people?
Yes.
Well, as time avails, if they call you, then we can't.
All right.
The issue that Senator Pierce brought up and the way the statute's structured, and it is the governor's has the power to go ahead and appoint, and that's the process that we go through, and we either confirm or deny whether his appointment is proper, and we have to make that judgment. So with time available, Mr. Chairman, if we could have
roll on. All right.
Testimony.
Can you continue us with that?
Sure.
Okay. I'll take one more, and then I think the House members are going to have to vacate here. But Senator Menard and Senator Pierce could very likely, if you're able to continue on, you're welcome to do so. Next, I'll just go right next to the one that I've asked to testify. Steve Marino, give us your name, please, and specifics.
My name is Steve Moreno. I am a member of Alaska Marine Pilots. They are a recognized group in the western region of Alaska. First of all, we are similarly not represented on the board, but we are very satisfied with the board's actions in reference to the bill at this point. See, our situation is similar to Mr. Homer's, but again, we are very satisfied with the persons on the board at this point, what action they are taking.
How about the nominees, the three members that are being told before us?
The members, including the nominees, yes, we're very satisfied.
So you do support the
absolutely.
The three that have been presented?
Yes.
All right, fine. Any questions at this point? Representative Lehman?
Mr. Chairman, Steve, I don't want to get into a lot of detail on this, but last summer I took a call from a member of your association, and he just indicated there were some challenges with the bill that we had passed last year. And maybe we're working on those. I don't recall if I talked with you or Jeff about it, but is there anything specifically that we should be doing in the legislature regarding the statutes that you can think of?
I would say that your close attention is necessary to ensure that the legislative intent is kept intact. There have been, as a pilot, I feel there have been some threats to the legislative intent, but overall, is going very well, and these members have been very supportive of the legislative intent.
Well, ladies and gentlemen of the House, we have been called to the floor, and so we are going to have to go up, and I'm going to turn the floor over to Senator Menard. House members are free to vote your conscience on whether or not you vote to confirm or not to confirm, or if you'd like to hear more, we will pick the any written testimony up and make it available to the members here. So the hearing can continue on, so the people who testified and came down here to present to us will be able to do it. I have to go right now. I have right here. William Anderson.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Sorry.
William Anderson.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Briefly, I don't feel like I've heard enough here. I would like to delve into it a little bit farther, and I feel like we just don't have the time here to go into it. And with the permission of the committee here, I'd like to get a teleconference set up here, possibly after this break that we're entering,
Easter break,
so that we could hear some more testimony and get into this.
All
All right, let's do that.
Whatever you want to do.
This will be a preliminary hearing then, and we will reschedule another one. We'll notify the pertinent individuals. We'll try to set it up on teleconference so everybody will have a chance to have an input. And we will hold these confirmations, and I will ask the indulgence of the committee members to hold all three, even though we've acted prematurely on the first one. Is that all right with the committee members?
Can I just ask anyone who wants to testify or be hooked up to teleconference, could you make sure your phone number's on the witness register, and then I'll notify you when we're going to have the hearing for the teleconference. But you have to have your phone number down for you.
If there's anybody that is unable to make the teleconference over the next meeting or and wants to give testimony, we can get it on the record and it can be printed out for the committee members that are not here. If someone is not going to be able to come back or connect by teleconference. So,
my pleasure.
We'll be able to be connected back with teleconference at a later date. If someone would like to, we would go ahead and take the testimony, and I could make it available in the record for the.
I would love to see that work.
Okay.
Same with myself.
Sure. Well, why don't we go ahead and continue here, and we will get it on the record. So we'll go ahead and resume the testimony of the pilot board. Give your name and.
Hey, my name is Peter Gray. I'm with Alaska Marine Pilots. Our situation with our group probably was real similar with what Joe Homer had. When we first came to this board, we were the odd men out. You know, we viewed the board that, hey, we're going to get screwed because we don't have anybody up there. So we came in fighting tooth and nail, and that didn't get us anywhere. And actually, we started working with the board and found out that their interests were what our interests were, providing safe pilotage out in the region we worked in, that we were licensed properly, and we were conducting the business the way pilots should conduct their business. And so we arrived, it didn't matter if we had somebody from our group up there or not, that we were being treated fairly. It just took some time working with the people that were in place. And had we taken some of those people off the board, we would have been in real tough shape, because these guys have been dealing with the issue for some time. And to raise the flag and say, hey, this guy's not shooting fair with us, and, okay, let's get somebody else in. And they would have had to be re-educated to this whole process once again. And from what I see, this is my first board meeting here. These guys are doing a great job up there, in my view, I think, right? Real happy with what they're doing. That's all.
And what area do you represent in the Alaska Marine Pilots? Are you located where?
You're west of Kodiak, west Aleutians, yeah, south side of the peninsula, and Bering Sea.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been a pilot?
Year 20.
And your group has been involved in this board process for how long?
What's it been, guys? When did we really start off here?
Since the new bill was signed.
Right when the new bill was signed, we became involved.
Okay, well, thank you for your testimony. Sir?
My name is Hans Antonsen, and I'm a pilot with Southeastern Alaska Pilots Association, and I started working through their dispatching services in 1988 when I received my first license. I was born in Anchorage. I've lived in Alaska most of my life, and I come through the forecastle, through the tugboat trade, and I've worked on tugboats since about 1976, all over Southeast Alaska predominantly. I know the area very well. My comments would be that in a situation on a board where there are slots for representation of different sides of an issue, and I think with this board, two public members, two pilots, two agents, and the occupational licensing being represented, it's a good cross-section. and a lot of allegations, a lot of dissatisfactions are bound to take place. Maybe they do in any board. For the record, I would like to say that the public members in subject today, the public member, the agent, and the pilot member up for confirmation, I would echo the comments of other people of the job that they're doing. I think they're doing an admirable job in coming from the backgrounds they do, representing the interests that they do, in stepping back from the small picture and trying to put the interests of the state first and foremost. And I think that's been reflected in the actions that the board has taken. Captain Collins' case, Mr. Greba, Mr. Watt, sometimes to the chagrin of my association, they don't always vote in what's in, I consider, my best interest. But I do think that they put the interest of the state first and foremost. And I think no matter who fills any positions on this board, there's bound to be dissatisfaction. It's a sensitive issue. It the board is dealing with a lot of issues that are significantly different than what they've been in the past. And I would say that there's bound to be some dissatisfactions, but being involved in the last two meetings, I think they're doing an admirable job of taking the direction from the statute, the what the pilot board is created for, protection of shipping industry and marine environment. I'm very impressed, and like I say, sometimes to our chagrin, they leave us to ourselves to attend the meetings and represent our own interests. I think all of the members of the pilot board, particularly those under consideration today, are keeping the perspective intact. And that's a difficult thing to do. I don't think I would be as able to do that.
So. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wants to give testimony?
My name is Jim Dragos. I'm affiliated with Southwest Pilots out of Homer. Although I'm speaking as an individual, I think my views more or less mirror what the SWAPA members feel as far as the actions of the board, in particular the members that are up for confirmation. To echo what Captain Anderson said, the board doesn't always vote along the lines that we think that it should, but their perspective is has been fair. They discuss the issues, all points. They take into consideration the interests of safety, the interests of the state. I personally support their nomination or their confirmation, and I think most of the SWAPA members also do. I'd like to address one comment that was made by Captain Homer in regard to representation on the board. I think that Captain Collins and also Captain O'Hara, who's presently on the board, who is a member of Southwest Pilots but represents the pilot designee from out west, they're in a difficult position. They certainly come to the board knowing what the problems of the pilots are and what the interests of the association are, but they have to assume an analogous position to that of a master of a ship, who not only has to represent the interests of the company, the people who pay his wages, but he also has to take into consideration the safety of his crew, the regulations that have to be complied with, not only by the country of the flag of the ship that he's sailing on, but the country that he's entering. Most pilots have sailed as master. They're aware that it's necessary to maintain a very fair and correct perspective, and when they get to be pilots, they have a similar problem. They have to represent the interests of the state. They have to advise a master, sometimes without even knowing what the particular characteristics of the ship are. And I think that Captain Collins and Captain O'Hara have done a very fine job in taking off their pilot member hat and putting on their pilot board hat, as it were, when they come into session on the board. Southwest Pilots doesn't always agree with the way the board votes, but to date, I don't think there's been any consideration or a determination based on the facts. I don't know that I won't be able to participate in any telephone conference, but as Captain Gray said, he might be out working and I might also, and I want to take this opportunity to present my views.
Thank you very much. Does anybody else want to testify or say anything else before we adjourn? Then I would instruct staff to we'll go ahead and pull that testimony off and get it printed up so it would be available in the files for members that were not present. And then we will contact, be sure that Wendy has everyone's phone number and everything else as far as notification for the next meeting. With that, thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.